Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live, and we'll see what love letter emerges today. Our guest is Amina Elaine, a young woman I met actually at the Uniqlo clothing store in San Francisco, and I walked in and I picked out something, and she was at the register, just one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen, which is kind of beside the point, but in addition to that, she said, did you find one? I said, yeah, well, I was looking for something, but I didn't see it. She said, oh, we have one of those. I said, oh, that's okay. I don't really need it. She said, I'll go get it for you. I said, well, I don't want to take you away from your station here. She said, that's what I'm here for. And I realized after a short conversation, it's going to be hard to say that's what she's here for because she has so much talent and is so powerful and seems to be here to make others feel graceful and welcome and worthwhile. And, okay, I'm going to go to you because this isn't about what I think about you. This is about you. Just tell us where you're from. I know you're new to San Francisco. And
yes,
how'd you get here?
Actually, the company that I work for, they gave me the option of coming to California. And so I took it. Me being from Queens, New York, born and raised in Queens, working all the time in Manhattan. It's where my real career started. I love Manhattan. That's my home. Love it all. But I wanted something new. I wanted a breath of fresh air. I wanted a different environment. I wanted more sun, more warmth. So I came to San Francisco.
And you were made manager.
And I was promoted to manager.
And I think everywhere you go, you're right away made manager.
Yes. I was always promoted. I went to 34th Street, became supervisor there. And they said, hey, come to California.
Who would be surprised? Okay. So tell me, you had mentioned that you lived a lot of places. Talk about how you grew up.
Well, I just grew up
in Queens. I like your family history.
Yeah, I actually lived in Queens my whole life, but my mother's from Jamaica, St. Anne's, Jamaica, the same place where Bob Marley's from. Mm-hmm. And then my father's from Haiti, and his parents were French. So me, I'm Jamaican and Haitian, mm-hmm. but born and raised in New York City. I've traveled, because I love Europe.
So but you've lived in some interesting places. You said you lived in Iceland, did you?
No, I visited Iceland. Yeah, amazing place to visit. I visited London, Madrid. I go for the food.
Do you really?
I go to see the people and the food. That's okay. And you know, the fashion. I want to see how other people dress.
So it's all life force for
you.
Yeah,
life
force. It's
just
how people live and how they express themselves.
Mm-hmm, of course.
You said you were raised in church and you play the violin and you play the piano. Talk about your music.
Yeah, I grew up in the church, so I definitely have a strong voice, so is my family. So within the school, I played piano and violin.
Did you actually learn by a teacher to play violin, or
you
did that naturally?
Mm-hmm. We performed at Carnegie Hall
in
Manhattan. So that was an amazing experience. Actually sang at...
Wait a minute. Hold your horses. You performed at Carnegie Hall with a high school orchestra, or was it a violin orchestra?
Because I actually went to Performing Arts High School in Bayside, Queens.
Oh, you did.
So we had that opportunity of doing that. I also sang at the Mets, Shea Stadium, before it was torn down. So at the Mets, I sang the national anthem there.
Oh, so you're really good. You're as good as you look at it. Yes.
I try to be, you know.
And so is that a little bit on back burner right now, your music?
It is right now, only because I have a different focus, and I never put my eggs in one basket. So I'm out here, I'm learning so much as far as like retail and understanding, you know, stock targets and allocation. So I'm learning so much. I just want to be more well-rounded. So my focus right now is just getting out there, my personality, my skills, and I'm just trying to meet and inquire more and better things.
and have you made a lot of friends since you've been here?
Of course, I love humans. I love people. So when I first moved here, I didn't know anyone but a store manager. I didn't even have any family. And that transition has been amazing because I've met people, wonderful people like you and wonderful people that, you know, around the city that just showed me around.
It's true that you can just go about your daily life and you see somebody.
And you just know.
All over their face is written, friendship, grab me.
Exactly.
And I find that some of my closest friendships in life are just exactly
from that.
You can feel it.
You can feel it. It's a force. Yes. It's about how you feel. It's about getting the most out of life. So meeting new people, you know, you never know who you're going to encounter. And that's an amazing thing. That's why I love traveling.
What do you like about retail? And you're in women's clothing in particular.
It's very tenuous. Anyone that works in retail can probably tell you, retail. But me, it's very rewarding because I get to, you know, see the different demographics. Every store that I go to is a different demographic, you know, understanding products, what women want, what sells, you know.
But what's appealing about that?
I just like making things look good. It's appealing because me, myself, personally, I dress, you know, well. So if I'm in the store and a person comes up to me and, hey, I need fat, I need help, what can I wear?
Oh, so you'll do that. You put them together.
Yeah, I like doing that. I like making big presentations. You know, I like learning. So I work for a Japanese company, and the Japanese excel in everything they do. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing opportunity learning and understand how to get the right product in the right store for the right customer.
When you say the Japanese excel in everything they do, yes, their colors and their mm-hmm. cut of their clothes and mm-hmm. their style. And I mean, even the mannequins in the store.
Yeah.
And the presentation.
Yeah, that's amazing. Also, yeah, like you said, the cut is very Asian. So it's really interesting understanding the American target market. And I'm happy that I get to, you know, be a part of that. They have to tailor to the Americans. We can't have all our clothing so small. Mm-hmm. We have bigger people here, mm-hmm. you know. So that's what I'm working on as well.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a Japanese cultural feel in there mm-hmm. that I find very appealing.
Yes.
I learned years ago, I forget what happened that I ended up learning this, but the way that they give a business card in Japan, it's not that one-handed flip that mm-hmm. we do when we give mm-hmm. a card. As in, mm-hmm. it does have a dismissive feel. And when you look at the Japanese, how they will give each other a business card, it is holding that card with two hands, mm-hmm. looking you straight in the eye, and presenting it to you with a slight bow. And it's being totally engaged in that moment of, and I noticed that at the checkout stand, at the registers, all the people behind the registers take your credit card in that same way and return it to you that way.
Of course, yeah, we're trained. It's a form of respect, even with money, your credit card. Uh-huh. Even when we talk to managers, we give, you know, documents. It's two hands, it's a form of respect.
Two hands and looking at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. It's a great something that we're us Americans should definitely take heed on. We learn that, and I think that's an amazing aspect.
I agree.
It makes
people feel uplifted.
Welcome,
it makes people
uplifted,
feel,
uh-huh. valued.
Yes, as opposed to some stores where you go in and you will say something like, if you can find a salesperson at all, you can say something, you know, I'm looking for a red skirt. Do you have anything like that? And without looking at you, while keeping their conversation with the same other person they're chatting with, the other salesperson, mm-hmm. they will point rather distractedly
oh,
and
no,
say,
we're not even allowed to point. That's disrespectful. We have to open our four hands and say, hey, it's over here.
Oh,
we can't point.
How interesting. So you're even taught like little,
yeah,
little subtle things. Mm-hmm. Open our forehand and
yeah,
take.
Like, oh, this is over here. Instead of pointing, it's kind of
uh-huh.
rude.
Uh-huh.
But that's what I've learned from.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, take heed, America. Yes. That's so nice. And we had talked about, well, you had mentioned the phrase street fashion when we first.
Yes.
And I was really taken with that.
Yeah.
And I want to know what that means to you, because the minute you said the phrase, I saw the entire world of fashion arising from the street and mm-hmm. the people.
Of course. That's where it all comes from. Yeah.
And it does now. But it used to be the designers would tell women what to wear.
Some half and half. There's a difference between high fashion forecasting and all that, and then street fashion. Street fashion.
What's high fashion forecasting?
High fashion is basically what you said. It's basically where, you know, the highest people, highest levels of fashion, they kind of tell you what's going to be the new color. They tell you what's going to be the new silhouettes, which is fine, and half of the time that works. But there's nothing like street fashion, because street fashion, that's where it comes from. That's where the inspiration is, and I'm from New York City, and you know, that's where, like, the grit of street fashion is, and that's amazing. But not until I went to London where I'm like, okay, I'm from New York, but London is amazing. You know, London is probably, their street fashion is probably better than New York. Hopefully nobody from New York hears me right now.
But. Well, but there was that whole, you know, Beatles era, that whole 60s era.
Yeah, and the punk rockers out there, it's amazing, that style.
And then that becomes appealing.
Even the classy, the Oxford, the trench coat, it's amazing too, you know? So that becomes appealing. And then I discovered that while I was out here in San Francisco, the street fashion is a little bit different from New York, which I'm really interested in.
How?
It's just different. It's more of a West Coast. It's brighter colors, a more relaxed feel. You have more prints, you know? Oh. And that's really interesting. And that's something that I'm very interested in pursuing out here, understanding the street fashion, West Coast versus East Coast.
Now, what would you say, because I was thinking about this before you got here, what would you say was the biggest street fashion, and by that we're talking about grassroots things that come from the biggest in history? Because I had a thought about that.
The biggest, like, fashion error?
Not error.
Or?
Oh, ever. The biggest fashion that started with street fashion and took over the world and has never let go in all its different incarnations. Levi's.
Knee-highs, of
Levi's,
course.
Levi's.
Jeans. Oh. Yeah, they'll never.
I mean, that was what the gold miners were wearing in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because it was tenting fabric and that has never let
go. Never changed or sustained.
Yet it's been taken over by the designers. Mm,
of course. Trench coats. Uh-huh. Trench coats will never leave style. That's a classic, okay? Oxford shirts. Basic things you're going to have that's just going to continue. You know, those kind of things. Bell bottom pants. That's selective. Me, myself, personally, I'd wear belt because I'm in love with the 60s. That's my favorite.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, but it's not specifically in, you know, trend right now, bell bottom pants.
But that, that definitely came from that whole hippie era.
Of course.
Era.
Which is my favorite.
You like the colorful?
Absolute favorite. The energy, the fact, the belt, the silhouettes, the hair, you know, the long.
Yes.
Oh, I live for it all.
Another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hair and clothing seem to have been always the points of breakout, the points of rebellion. I no longer want to look like what's gone before me. I don't want to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it was high hair, you know,
yes.
All about the high hair.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all about, to me, I think it's all about that color. So people have all these edgy colors, that green, that silver. That's something that is a big trend right now, just the coloring of the hair.
Well, and when people first started doing that, it irritated the life out of the establishment.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, green hair and blue hair.
Of course.
And then I realized, you know, I color my hair.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the...
There's no big change. It's a change. You got to accept the generation we're living in, you know?
It's lovely. I saw a woman the other day. She had black hair.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, by nature, it was black hair. And it was kind of shaved around the base of her skull. And the whole top was a big, fluffy arrangement of her hair that was turquoise blue.
Wow.
Sitting on the... It was gorgeous.
That's crazy. Why
it was
not?
Actually beautiful.
Why not? I love it all. Go for it. This is all about expression.
What do you dress in your wildest moments?
Every day is a wild moment for me. I dress crazy.
But you don't have purple hair.
No, because I used to do that. I had pink hair back in high school.
Oh.
Yeah, I went through that phase. I like the black because I like to switch it up. I like to be corporate and then crazy. But
How did your parents take to that?
Oh, they're used to it. Ever since I was young, when I was three, I used to change outfits 3 times a day. Only because, you know, it depends where you're going. If I'm playing, that's fine. If I go out with my sisters, I'm going to put a cuter outfit on. You know, it depends. I dress to express.
Yes.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. In high school, I got most original. You know, Bayside High School. Yeah. I don't know. I just, how I dress is how I feel. So one day I can
But that is true of most people, isn't it?
Yeah, well, no.
Whether you're thinking about it or not.
Whether you're thinking about it or not. And some people, when I do styling sometimes, so I tell my clients, I'm like, you know, you may feel a certain way, but if you put on a cute outfit on, I promise you your day will go amazing. You know, you feel better about
you're dressing yourself.
You're dressed to express.
Because everyone wants to feel...
Everyone wants to feel, like...
Attractive. In some way or other. You want to feel original.
And you want to feel good about yourself.
Right.
When you put yourself out and how people view you, sometimes that has an impact on, you know, how your day can go, you know? Wearing this beautiful green shirt you have. I'm sure if you walk down the street, you look amazing! You're going to feel good about yourself. You know, it's about color. It's about your style.
Is it about also respect for the universe somehow? That you keep yourself at top.
Yeah, well, sometimes it depends. Sometimes people can't keep themselves at top. So you have to, I say go to thrift stores.
I didn't mean that as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you put a little care into what you look like, it's kind
that
of the
changes.
Start of self-respect.
Yes. See, that is. It's self-respect. It's about respecting yourself, like dressing to express how you feel, you know?
Yes. And authentically.
Authentically.
We were talking yesterday about that group of high school boys that were doing a dance show. They were doing a Samoan dance show.
Mm.
And it was a group show that I was in. And these boys came in, they're high school boys. And, you know, the Samoan guys are kind of big and beefy. And they're wearing Levi's and raggedy striped shirts. And they just looked like high school boys.
Yeah.
And then they got dressed in their costumes. Their costumes were the Samoan traditional dress, and it was the men's grass skirts, bare chests, and a strand of big black beads just sitting on those beautiful brown chests of those boys. And they suddenly looked like kings.
Exactly.
Because they weren't wearing somebody else's slop off. They were wearing what was really authentic to them culturally.
I think that's an amazing thing.
Oh, they look
Each
gorgeous.
Each culture has a different style, a different vibe. I just celebrated Chinese New Year's. I had one of those cute little Chinese dresses.
Yeah.
You got to be proud of where you're from. You have to be proud of what it is. Okay, I'm sure if they walked on the streets with those, with their Samoan bare-chested, people would, it's probably too cold, but at least a lot of people respect them. People are going to take pictures of you. You look amazing.
Well,
you know?
People look different when they're authentic.
Of course.
Avenue, actually.
Yeah, it's all beautiful.
So let's just get back to your music again. And then I want to talk about what I hope you were going to do. We talked about your having a website with street fashion.
Street fashion
and
blogging.
Yes.
That's what I think I'm going to go into. What I'm going to do is I'm going to...
You want to stay tuned, and by the way, people, and see the world through the eyes of Amina Lane.
Definitely. It's really interesting. I'm definitely going to start capturing some of these looks that I've been seeing. San Francisco, LA, on the West Coast. It's amazing. Even in New York, too. I go to New York every 2 months, so just...
Oh,
get, yeah, I go...
Wow, you are energy.
Yeah, I love to travel. I have to go back home and eat, you know... I get homesick sometimes.
Oh, that's nice for your family, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to capture these different looks throughout, even if I travel, you know, just capturing the street fashion, where it's all
now,
coming from.
This is a silly question, really, because it doesn't matter. But you're having a very good time in life, and you're having a good time with all of this. Do you picture that you will do something with it later?
Of course.
I mean, will you have your own store? Will you have your own consulting business? Will you... perform? Will you sing?
I want to do it
all. Up now.
I want to do it all. Me, I have so much. Yeah, I have a lot of talent, and I can help people. But I'm a kind of go with the flow kind of person. Really, I really am. And like I said, I never put my eggs in one basket. So, I'm kind of just going with the flow. Life is just an open book. It's like,
that's
nice. I ultimately though, I want to travel. I do want to have a store. I definitely want to have a store. I just have to find out, you know, my right market, you know. But ultimately, I just want to travel. I want to spread music. I want to help people through music get together, come together.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately.
That's what Berry Gordy did.
And talk. I just want to talk and understand people and help people, you know.
So it's open to you.
Yeah, it's open.
Yes. Now, you learned a lot from your mother. You learned a lot from your father. You're one of seven, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm the last of seven. We're all by the same parents. I'm the baby.
And your father is a nurse.
He was a nurse.
Was a nurse.
Yeah,
yes.
He worked in the ER.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was his specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And where did he go to school for that? In New York?
I can't remember. I didn't ask him. But I know that he, right from school, he went right into...
But school in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was always a nurse when you...
He was doing that at nighttime.
That's
so he would be in the ER, so he would do the nighttime nursing, but during the day he would drive the school bus van for the school that I actually went to, the private school. So he would do that. So a lot of the church kids, and they knew him, so...
Nice.
He was into the church.
Yeah,
big,
the nurses who keep you alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then my mother, she's just a... amazing woman. She's
Tell
so witty, lighthearted. She, you know, was a secretary, and then she was doing, you know, autistic kids. And then she retired.
Mm-hmm.
But she just loves her grandchildren. She just has an amazing heart and really polite. And she has, that's where I get my
I like that. You kind of slipped over that. And you said, and really polite.
Very polite.
And
always
so
has an amazing voice. Amazing morning voice. Even at 5 a.m.
You know, that's kind of a theme that's been running through here. You know, polite.
Mm-hmm.
How you are at the store at Uniqlo,
mm-hmm.
and absorbing that Japanese,
mm-hmm.
Being polite.
Mm-hmm. It's all hand in hand.
Yes. Being polite is so important.
It is.
Okay. I want to ask you a question,
mm-hmm.
because we are about love letters. Do you ever write them? Have you written them?
See, let me tell you, because of society and everything is all through phones and computers, it's been a while, but... do I write love letters? Maybe when I was younger. I should.
That's the conclusion I'm after.
I should. I'm better at expressing through words. So if I have
something
you're great to tell
at
someone,
expressing.
I'd rather like tell them.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Except for one thing. that's great for the moment, and that's great for the year that you remember what Amina said to you. But memory fades. Now, what if you have something really important to say to somebody and you want them to know it forever?
You know what? That's an amazing point, because the letters that I used to write when I was in third, fourth grade, I kid you not, I still have them saved.
Of course
you
do.
When I go back to New York, I look in my little box, I read through the letters, and there you have it. And then I have all my books.
There you have
it. So you're so right.
Everybody keeps those letters. People don't throw those love letters away. And they get found years later. I mean, you hear stories about letters that are found three generations later.
That's very important.
You know that you came from a wonderful family history with a legacy of polite and warmth and intelligence. And how nice to have it on paper that you came from a family that knew how to love. And here's the proof.
Yeah. You're right. I came from a big family. And you know, that's definitely important.
And as far as a telephone call, you can't reread a phone call when you're old and you want to remember how much somebody loved. So if
even
you were,
as a young person, you can't, you know. You're right. That phone call. You can't.
Those letters are forever.
Yeah. You're right.
So who would you write a love letter to? Let's plan a couple. And I hope you go do them.
I would write a love letter to my mom. Of course, my mom. And then you, of course. Because you're amazing.
But have you ever written one to your mother? Does she have anything in your handwriting?
I've wrote her cards.
Okay.
Cards. I like to send those out.
Well, that counts. And that's got your handwriting on
it. Yeah,
so.
Definitely. Okay. Cards are very important. And then there's nobody really in my life.
Well, if you were to write a love letter to your mother right now, what would you say? And I'm asking that because you said, I think a really good love letter, a really good love letter is about the other guy. And it's about what you love about that person. And even the specific physical things. Like what stands out about her? We're going to write this letter.
Well, what I would write, first of all, I would thank her. I would be so grateful. Because not until you move away from your family or your mother do you realize everything that you're supposed to be grateful for. So I would thank her. I would thank her for just sending me and raising me like this.
What's the like this?
I didn't know that a lot of people that I've met, even out here, they don't know how to read music. They've never been in choirs. They've never, you know, I have a big family. You know, so I know what it is to, like, be there for someone.
So you would thank her specifically for the things you learned.
Yeah, for the things that I've learned, how I was raised.
That you play the piano and that you play the violin.
She made sure that I had to go to piano and violin. She definitely had to.
So those love letters should say those things specifically. I want to tell you how grateful I am that you made me do this, and it was because of you that I can play the violin.
Exactly.
Exactly. Specifics. What does she look like?
She is a little fairer skinned than I am, and she's just fair skinned. I don't know. My brothers and sisters have green eyes. I guess we got that from my father's side because my grandfather is white. But she's fair skinned. She's a little bit heavy set. And
beautiful face.
Yeah, she has a beautiful set face. She has nice. She hairstyle like yours, nice and curled. You know.
How does she dress?
She does not dress like me. She's very conservative. She's from church, too. So she doesn't have any, like,
do you have a favorite outfit that you used to like when you're...
For her? No. Uh-huh. She's not good with that. She's just, like, taking care of her grandchildren, put on a regular pair of jeans, a regular shirt. Now, she's into The View. She's into the Wendy Williams show. So she's understanding more how to, like, put her outfits together and accessorize.
So she's learning as she's going on. She's
learning.
That's admirable.
She's learning, but she's not as much into fashion as I am. My grandmother now, her mother, she sewed. She made clothes.
Oh.
She was amazing. Like, that's where I get my fashion and my sewing from my grandmother, who passed away. At the age of 100.
Wow.
So my mother, I think it skipped her and then went to...
Okay. So you've got some specific things that you can say thank you for.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know,
so much things.
Yes.
I guess for my, you know,
half Jamaican.
She's an okay cook. My father was a better cook. I'm not going to lie. She's an okay. She can make some good, like, Jamaican breakfast. But we like to eat out.
Yeah,
we like to dine out and try different foods. She can cook, though. Nice vegetarian.
Now, somehow she gave you a nice feeling of independence and that you could conquer the world.
Of course. And a little bit too much. A little bit too much when I was in high school because I was the youngest kid. She was already a little bit older.
Right.
So all she used to tell me was, be safe, you know, let me know where you're going. And even if I wanted to travel, she just had a lot of freedom because I had so much brothers and sisters there. I just...
And that is that's something wonderful to put in a love letter.
Of course. And she trusted me. And I wasn't a bad kid. I didn't go out doing the craziest, half and half. But
you're lucky when that happens.
Yeah, and I'm here, and I'm very grateful for that, foundation.
No, and your dad?
My father was a very strict but kind-hearted man. Mm-hmm. He actually passed away about a couple months ago when I was out here.
Now, do you think that it's too late to write a love letter to somebody who's passed away?
Not necessarily. No, not at all.
It's a beautiful not letter to
it's,
write.
It's a beautiful and emotional one to write, but not at all.
Because there are things to thank him for, too. Or
of
just
course.
Even if you're not thanking blatantly, the fact that you're remembering things about people is such a compliment.
It is.
It is. Such a compliment.
And then those memories, it's just like, even when he passed, those certain things that I realized that, you know, he did were, it was amazing. But the spirituality through that will live on, through me and then my kids.
Yeah.
So those memories are very important.
And even if some stranger finds it someday in a box stuck behind some wall, they'll know something about your part in history.
Exactly. And I think that's an amazing
thing. Now, what about to your brothers and sisters? You were the baby and they pampered you?
They pampered me. Yeah, I have three brothers, three sisters, and I was the baby.
It seems like it would be fun to write a letter to them.
Oh,
saying,
yeah.
I just want you to know what it was like being your baby sister.
Oh, yeah. Every time, I mean, on Facebook, I put these little, like today, for example, it's my sister's birthday. I'm like, this is, you know, for each sister, I get something different for them. So from this specific sister, you know, I said, thank you for teaching me your network abilities, your street smarts.
No, you said that on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook. So
that's
every time
great.
I have a birthday, I'd post a picture. And
so what if you did that, excuse me, on just a little piece of paper and stuck it in an envelope along with the Facebook so that they'll have something to look at when they're older,
I think
forever.
I have to start doing that.
Will you?
Of course.
Oh, good.
Why
because,
not?
Because
I didn't know. That's amazing.
Also, you know something? When you are where you want to be in life, I mean, I know you're where you want to be at every step, which is part of the beauty of you, of course.
I'm moving forward towards it.
But still, I have a feeling that the world is going to hear from you in some huge way.
I hope so, because I have a message. I have
yes.
a positive message.
You sure
and that's
do.
What we need.
You sure do. And you have it just the way you walk down the street and
oh,
enter a room.
Thank
I mean,
you.
It's all over the place. But won't that be wonderful someday for people to say, I have a letter from Amina Elaine that she wrote when she was 25, and the world's going to want to know what you had to say then, looking back. Oh, I hope
you're
you
right.
do all this.
I am.
I didn't really mean to send you home with homework, but I do
no,
tend
I
to
am.
Do that.
Okay. I am. It's important.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm
Anytime.
So glad that we walked into each other's lives.
Of course.
And I just want to remind you that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion and always will be.
Thank you so much
Thank
for having
you
me,
for
Janet.
Doing this. And we'll just say goodbye from Janet and
Amina Elaine.
Until next time. Bye.